Summertime to start there. And good morning to Claire, who says that is one of her favourite Talking Heads tracks ever. This must be the place. And thank you very much, Claire, for the book, a collection of A.A. Gill essays, which I look forward to reading. Apparently the Monaco chapter is particularly interesting. The Full English Breakfast Show. I know a lot of you are desperate to get back to France to visit your second homes or just have a well-deserved holiday. And one of the delights about France is going to a restaurant and perusing the menu, which quite often has some very interesting translations. The local France has put a collection of some of the more interesting virtual translations employed by French restaurateurs. Do you fancy salad of lawyer, for example?
A salad of lawyer.
Quite common. It comes from the fact the French word avocat can translate either as a lawyer or an avocado. Mm-hmm. If it's served in salad, it's more likely to be the green fruit, hopefully, and also a lawyer. Choice of flat.
Choice of flat?
Yeah, another word with two possible translations is plat, which can mean either a dish or a main course or flat, as in plat comme une crêpe. In this case, a choice of main course might have made a little more sense. Scum of garlic. No? Delicious as a saddle of lamb can be, the scum of garlic on the menu might not be so tempting. Legume can translate either as a scum or a foam. Some restaurants have mistakenly put scum of garlic instead of foam of garlic on their menus. A sea bass on a bed of contact lenses.
Oh.
The French word for contact lens, lentille de contact, or simply lentille, is the same as for lentils, leading to some slightly surprising translations. Back of wolf wipes virgin. And loup in French is a wolf, but wolf meat doesn't tend to appear on menus much. But a sea bass is un loup de mer, often shortened simply to loup, to the great confusion of anyone who's looked up terrine de loup and wondered if that can possibly mean wolf pate. There was a menu which was printed with loup sauce vierge, virgin sauce made with lemon, shallots, tomatoes, capers and extra virgin olive oil, hence the name, and they translated it as back of wolf wipes virgin. Lard and chicken salad. Bacon rashers are not very common in France, to the endless despair of Brits. He gives poitrine. Mm. Poitrine is just as good, actually. Bacon tends to come in the form of lardons, small pieces of fat bacon, but lardon often seems to be translated into English as lard, the white rendered animal fat popular with grannies for cooking, and not exactly what you want to see plonked on top of your salad. It's quite a good insult as well, lard, isn't it?
What, if you're a lard? Mm. Yeah. I don't know about a good insult.
Hunger steak. If you're hungry and in the mood for beef, it's time to try a hunger steak as one menu. Skirt steak or hanger steak, as you're more likely to call it. Ongle is also quite similar to ongle, which is finger or toenails, and that's also been put on menus.
No, is that ongle the bit of the cow that nobody eats in
hanger,
the UK?
Skirt steak.
Yeah, not very popular, is it?
No, but different cuts.
Different cuts,
it's quite
yeah.
nice, actually. Mm. Piece of the butcher. La pièce de boucher. Yeah. Refers to cuts of beef from the animal's rump area, believed by many to be the best. Hence the belief the butchers themselves save these bits for themselves. The butcher's piece. It doesn't mean you're about to be served a piece off the butcher, though. A paving stone of salmon fillet.
Pavé.
Yeah. Pavé does mean a paving stone, but in the context of salmon, obviously, it doesn't. And finally, chocolate roof tiles.
Chocolate roof tiles.
And tuile in French does indeed mean a roof tile, but it also refers to the delicious little curved biscuits of the same name. They get their name due to their distinctive shape made by draping the oven-warm biscuits over a curved surface. But they're not roof tiles.
No. They're all virtual now anyway, menus. You don't get given a menu anymore. Well, I haven't been given a menu.
I'm sure the virtual translations are still there.
Still, yeah, probably, no doubt.
Bon appétit. Time for this morning's comedy. Another in a series of people cracking up on air, which did happen here a few weeks ago. It does happen to everybody eventually. Yesterday we had Brian Johnson and Jonathan Agnew. Today, here is the BBC Radio 4 newsreader, Charlotte Green.
American historians have discovered what they think is the earliest recording of the human voice, made on a device which scratched sound waves onto paper blackened by smoke. It was made in 1860, 17 years before Thomas Edison first demonstrated the gramophone, and featured an excerpt from a French song, Au clair de la lune.
Au
The award-winning screenwriter Abby Mann has died at the age of 80. He won an Academy Award in 1961 for Judgment at Nuremberg. Abby Mann also won several Emmys, including one in 1973 for a film which featured a police detective called Kim Kerchak. The character on whom a long-running TV series was eventually based.
It's 10 minutes past eight.
Sometimes it happens. When you go, and there's just no stopping it, I'm afraid.
Today's quiz. On this day in 1962, this film soundtrack went to number one in the UK. It was also a musical. Which film am I referring to? I'll give you some clues, some of the quotes from this film.
West Side Story.
How did you know? Oh, give me a quote then.
There's a place for
That's
us.
That's a song.
Didn't PJ Proby do it?
When you're a jet, you're always a jet. You're a jet all the way, yeah. And from here on in, everything's going to be all right. I got a feeling.
That's all right, I got
Tony
it right anyway.
So. Okay, all right. Question number two. On this day in 1966, the Beatles had their 10th consecutive UK number one single.
Oh, I hate Beatles questions.
With paperback writer. Okay, I'm telling you the answer. Can you tell me who was the youngest Beatle?
George Harrison.
Well done. And finally, which member of Electric Light Orchestra left the band?
Roy Wood.
To form Wizard in July what year?
1972.
Correct. And it was their second single by Wood's band and their first to reach number one in the UK singles chart. What was it?
See My Baby Jive.
Certainly was.
God, that's a royal hat-trick this morning, isn't it? Shame we haven't got time to play it.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What on earth is going on in the White House?
In the wire card?
No, the White House.
Oh, the White House.
The trade deal. Yes, fees won.
Apparently it's all fine, no problems there, nothing to worry about. It seems a little bit strange. It's been conflicting news, isn't it? Because there's only a few weeks ago lots of debate, the fact that China wouldn't be able to fulfil its agricultural buying commitments, putting on pressure on the deal. Alongside that, of course, President Trump has been vocal about China's role during the course of the pandemic and over Hong Kong as well. So a range of factors suggested that the deal could be coming under pressure, but President Trump and some advisers yesterday suggesting it's in much better shape than many considered.
So Peter Navarro, the White House trade advisor, was speaking spontaneously to Fox News, was it? Then he had his knuckles wrapped later by Donald Trump.
Well, he said it was over, of course, the deal, which didn't go down apparently very well. And since we've seen a number of people, including President Trump, trying to walk back the comments.
Yeah, well, it didn't go down very well. It sent Asian markets into a tailspin at the opening, but they recovered somewhat. The Nikkei's up 1%. But so just wonder what is going on when there's no communication inside the American administration.
Yeah. It's been an issue and has been for some time, but something we've almost got used to and started to discount a little bit.
OK, well, I won't draw you into any political discussions. Wall Street closed up yesterday, still hoping on an economic rebound, but I'm afraid the coronavirus figures are looking pretty bad.
They are looking pretty bad. US stocks rose yesterday, technology very much leading the way as investors continue to bet. As the world evolves through the pandemic, tech companies will play a much more important role. The Nasdaq jumped more than 1%. The index has risen for the past 7 consecutive trading sessions in its longest rally of the year. The S&P 500, a much broader measure of US companies, was positive, as up 0.65%, but lagged behind the Nasdaq. Some sectors under pressure as investors weigh the economic impact of the virus flare-ups in some US states and around the world. I think the numbers yesterday globally were 185,000, which was a single day record, led by the likes of Brazil, followed by the US and India. So signs that the pandemic is accelerating, as been mentioned by, of course, the World Health Organization, something we should continue to be cognizant of even as countries come out of lockdown. Demand for safe havens picked up, gold pushing close to a 7-year high, trading $1,745 an ounce this morning. Yields on German 30-year government debt fell below zero for the first time since May. Given the strongest performance on Wall Street, no surprise we are looking at better starts on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 32 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 105 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 39 points.
A 7-year lie. That was a bit of a Freudian slip there, wasn't it?
7-year high.
Yeah. Rather more worryingly closer to home.
Speaking of lies.
Yeah, we've got rates of coronavirus spiking in Germany and Spain now. The R has risen above 2 in Germany, and cases growing in northwestern Spain with the government moving to reimpose restrictions. So we keep saying we're not over this yet. In fact, the end of the tunnel looks like a very long way away.
Far from it, far from it. And we've moved from national lockdowns to regional lockdowns as a result of specific flare-ups. And that's the model that we're expecting to see, depending, of course, on how quickly the pandemic evolves and in particular areas. The R rate in Germany, I think, was at 2.88 on Sunday, which is a very strong number indeed and will need immediate attention.
Yeah, okay. I know you can't wait to talk about Wirecard. You're championing the bit to get that out. Growing scandal in Germany over this.
Yeah, Wirecard is a German payment process. Clients include the likes of Visa and MasterCard. Once the darling of the stock market joined the DAX 2 years ago with a value of 24 billion euros, considerably less than that this morning. And seen as a flagship for German technology, has become embroiled in an accounting scandal. Yesterday admitted 1.9 billion euros it booked in its accounts as revenue never existed. The black hole threatens to engulf the company and tarnish the reputation of Germany's financial watchdog and its auditor, EY. The company is now being investigated by state prosecutors in Germany. It's in emergency talks with banks, which are owed nearly 1.75 billion euros in an effort to avoid a cash crunch. Its shares, as you can imagine, have been a poor performer, crashed in recent days. In fact, they've lost 11 billion euros worth of value. Its chief executive has left and been replaced by a compliance expert. They're looking to sell or close parts of the business. I mean, the underlying platform still remains relatively strong, but it was always growing at a much faster rate and far more profitable than all these other competitors, and there were question marks about that for some time, and those questions have proved to be valid. So a dramatic fall for a rare German technology success.
And the Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte is revving up his helicopter and planning to dump a lot of money down on Fiat Chrysler.
It's close to unveiling the approval of guarantees for a 6.3 billion euro financing package for Fiat Chrysler. Fiat tapped Rome to secure a state-backed 3-year facility to support the group's operation within the country, as well as Italy's car sector, which apparently equates to about 10,000 businesses that operate. Crisis loans in Italy, of course, are subject to a number of conditions, including a temporary dividend suspension, although not likely to include the special dividend to Peugeot shareholders for the planned merger. That merger, of course, looks set to create the world's fourth largest car manufacturer, although on June, I think the 17th, the European Commission said it would open an in-depth investigation into the merger. So still some way to go on that one.
So what you're really saying is the European Union is going to give money to Fiat Chrysler by the Italian government?
Well, these are guarantees, of course, but I suppose the ability of the Italian government to provide guarantees is somewhat leveraged off the strength of the European Union system. But I mean, the good news is, of course, that Europe has begun to put a much more united front on in terms of dealing with the crisis and moving towards some consolidation around its fiscal responsibilities and notions of nations sharing debt, which will also be seen as long-term positive for Europe. And part of the reason why we've become much more positive, certainly in the near term, about the euro.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that it's a proposed merger between Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot. I guess we're going to see a lot of M&A activity over the coming months and years as companies attempt to consolidate, close down some non-profit-making outlets and group together to try and sort of pull out of this coronavirus crisis.
You would imagine so, although valuations aren't particularly cheap. but financing is cheap and availability perhaps a little bit more questionable. I mean, M&A activity has fallen off the edge of the cliff over the course of the past couple of months, but you would imagine there's lots of incentives for businesses, as you say, to try and go through this process. In saying that, for many companies, they're looking to stabilise their own businesses rather than taking on the risks and the extra detail of trying to integrate another company into their operation. So perhaps not the spur for widespread M&A activity in the short term. Medium to long term, you certainly believe that's likely to be the case.
Think you're going to make it down to the Lago di Como this year or not?
Well, it's just opened, actually, the Villa d'Este, it has to be said, but it's certain protocols are in place. I mean, it's a difficult one. I don't know how people feel in your part of the world. I mean,
well, we're getting lots of correspondence, people desperate to come down to their second homes in the south of France, sure, or just to have a holiday. I mean, people, from what I can see at this end, are desperate to get out of the UK as soon as possible.
Yeah, it feels that. I mean, it feels like an awful long time since I've travelled, it has to be said. I would like to go and do something, but do you want to pay a lot of money to have half an experience? A lot of people, that's a bit of a question, I think. So,
well, if you can afford it, why not?
Maybe so, but maybe you won't enjoy it. And you've got to get there, of course. That is the other element to it. So, I think a lot of people are looking at UK holidays for the first time who wouldn't normally consider it. So maybe that's a way that people go. Scotland, maybe, or, you know.
Yeah, Scotland,
Cornwall,
yeah.
Some of these places,
well,
maybe,
I mean, I'd stay away from Cornwall. Apparently, it's going to be a bit like Benidorm this summer.
Yeah, okay, well, maybe I'll give that a miss.
Scotland would be nice, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see, so maybe it's a chance
The Western Isles. I've always wanted to do that on a boat trip.
Okay, well, I think a lot of people would pay for you to do it if you were willing to stay away for a fair amount of time.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 124.5. Euro dollar 112.5. Going to get 1 euro 10.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
Go on, get back in lockdown.
Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
The body of a man has been found in the river Artubie near Trigence in the Haute-Var. Two hikers discovered the corpse on Monday afternoon and alerted the police. An investigation has been launched to identify and determine the cause of death. In other news, the Ocean Viking, operated by the European humanitarian group SOS Méditerranée, has left the city of Marseille for its first rescue mission in Libyan waters. Its first mission in 3 months, the European humanitarian vessel will be operating with reduced means and a team watching for signs of the coronavirus as they rescue shipwrecked migrants. Four people have been arrested in La Ciotta in the Var in connection with drug trafficking. The network, which was making drugs readily available for tourists in the area, was dismantled by police following several searches. One of the four arrested was already known to police and had been released from prison last year. The investigation continues. A large rave party has been broken up by police in the Vaucluse. About 400 to 500 people had gathered on Saturday night. Police were alerted by the National Forest Office and intervened in the early hours of Monday morning. Supermarket Carrefour has announced a recall of various charcuterie products because of the possible presence of listeria. The company recommends that people who have purchased the affected products destroy them or take them back to the store where they'll be reimbursed. The list of products sold under the Carrefour Bio and Carrefour Selection brands can be found at the Carrefour website under Rappel Produits. Following the Citizens' Climate Convention held over the weekend, the speed limit on France's motorways could be the subject of a referendum. Speaking on Monday, France's Minister of Transport said that the proposal of a 110km/h speed limit from the Citizens' Climate Convention was a positive move for the environment and for road safety. The speed limit is currently 130km/h, with the exception in some areas, such as the Alpes-Maritimes, which has introduced its own limits within the department. As schools returned to class on Monday and cinemas, swimming pools and holiday centres reopened, France is also preparing to ease restrictions for employees, notably those working from home. The new regulations are expected to come into effect by at the latest July the 10th, which also marks the end of the national health emergency. Working from home will no longer be the norm, and a simple distance of 1 metre between employees will suffice. Measures which are expected to be announced this week by France's employment minister will also see the end of limiting the number of employees in the office for as long as the social distancing can be respected. A recent survey has shown that France's Prime Minister Edouard Philippe is considerably more popular with the French people compared to President Emmanuel Macron. The survey carried out by Odoxa shows that the Prime Minister is appreciated by 48% of French compared to 39% for President Emmanuel Macron. Meanwhile, the Minister of Economy, Bruno Le Maire, has increased in popularity, coming joint first alongside the head of the National Rally Party, Marine Le Pen, behind both the Prime Minister and the head of state. Figures also show that ahead of Sunday's second round of local elections in France, 60% of French people will not go to the voting polls, even though 73% believe that local mayors were credible in their handling of the health crisis. Finally, following a 2 month delay due to the coronavirus pandemic, work is now underway for the largest urban farm in Europe. Set on a Paris rooftop, the farm is set to grow over the next 2 years and hopes to be able to produce around 1,000 kilos of fruit and vegetables every day in high season, thanks to a team of around 20 farmers, while providing a global model for sustainable farming, where produce is grown locally and according to the seasons.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Burnley Football Club has said it's ashamed and embarrassed after a banner reading "White Lives Matter Burnley" was flown over the Etihad Stadium during Monday night's match against Manchester City. On the pitch, City thrashed Burnley 5-0. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Liverpool will have to wait a little longer if they're to secure the Premier League title. Manchester City hammered Burnley 5-0 in the Monday night game, meaning Liverpool can't now clinch the title on Wednesday when they play Crystal Palace. There were two goals from Riyad Mahrez and two from 20-year-old Phil Foden, bringing his tally to 3 in 2 games, earning praise from manager Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, we don't have doubt in that. When the first day we saw him in the training session, said, oh, this guy has something special. Always he has a chance, always he scores goals, and this is so difficult to find in a young player like him. But we had the feeling that every day, every time we could play, he deserved to be here. So it's not easy to be part of the squad for Manchester City, for the big talents, the players that we have. And here he is. So that's why we are delighted to have him.
Burnley have strongly condemned those responsible for flying a plane carrying the message "White Lives Matter Burnley" just before kickoff. The aircraft circled the ground moments after all the players had taken the knee in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Burnley captain, Ben Mee, told the BBC the team were embarrassed by the incident.
We, as a group of players, condemn it. We're ashamed, we're embarrassed. Completely misses the point of what we're trying to achieve as a football community, as a group of players. And as a group of players, we're really ashamed, and, you know, it's a minority of our supporters, and I always speak for the main part of our supporters that absolutely, you know, distance ourselves from any sort of thing like that. It's a real shame to see, and it definitely had a massive impact on us to see that in the sky.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
There are two games tonight. Leicester against Brighton.
Oh. I'll go for Brighton, I think.
Brighton away at Leicester. That's a bold prediction.
I think so.
Draw for me. Okay. Leicester are third in the table. They can't have suddenly become...
No, I know, but I don't think Brighton will... They'll put up a fight, put it that way.
They will, yes. And Spurs against West Ham.
Oh, no. I'll have to go for West Ham.
Really?
Otherwise, Scott won't speak to me if I don't go for West Ham.
I think I'll join you with that. Yeah. For some reason. Formula One, McLaren are taking legal action to allow it to secure urgent refinancing to address what it says is severe and unexpected financial difficulty. The claim's been made in a bid to stop a group of investors from blocking plans for the firm to secure loans against its factory and historic car collection. The investors opposed to the move say the McLaren Technology Centre and its heritage collection are already employed as security in a bond launched in 2017. McLaren says it has already spent funds injected by shareholders in March in light of the effects of the coronavirus on its business. Cricket. Three members of the Pakistan squad due to tour England this summer have tested positive for coronavirus. Haider Ali, Haris Rauf and Shadab Khan tested positive on Sunday and have been told to self-isolate. Test results on the rest of the 29-man squad are due today. Pakistan are due to fly to England on the 28th of June for a three-match test series and three T20s in August and September. And in racing, Frankie Dettori will ride the favourites in the Epsom Derby next month. The informed 49-year-old, who was the leading jockey at Royal Ascot, will partner English King as he seeks his third Derby victory. English King is the current 72 favourite for the big race, ahead of the 2000 Guinness winner Cameco, who's quoted at 4-1. The Derby, which was due to take place earlier this month, will now be run on the 4th of July.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim and the Var. The general situation is an anticyclone, 1,022 millibars over northern France and Germany. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,018 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
We're suffering.
Last night was just impossible. I think I'd nodded off at about midnight. That was after The Fascinating Life of a Wombat that I watched after Inside Monaco.
Okay. It's just to the upper limits of what's bearable for me now. Clear skies, light variable winds, temperatures 29 or 30 degrees on the coast, 86 degrees Fahrenheit, up to 32 degrees eastern land, that's 90 degrees Fahrenheit. At least there's a bit of a breeze, which makes it slightly more bearable. If there was no wind, it would be impossible. Overnight lows 21 degrees on the coast, 18 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, clear skies and coastal areas, showers inland, highs of 29 to 33 degrees.
33 degrees.
Yeah, I think that's more like to be inland in the Var. But I mean, they said 27 or 28 on the coast. Yesterday I got home, it was 30, so...
No, it was 22 this morning driving in.
Yeah, it was actually 23 in some places. In Monaco, it was 23 when I got here. Mm.
Drink as much as you like, just don't get divorced.
OK.
People who get divorced...
Unfortunately, one thing can lead to the other, can't it?
People who get divorced are more likely to die than heavy drinkers, people with money problems and those who never got married in the first place, according to a recent study. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the number one cause of an early death was found to be smoking, almost doubling the risk to individuals. However, divorce came in second, ahead of alcohol abuse, financial difficulties and unemployment, and even never having been married in the first place.
God, it's really cheerful stuff this morning, isn't it? Thank you, Sarah. You're up to date.
Look at it positively.
The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc. Roger Taylor.
What about him?
Drummer from Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know he wrote Under Pressure?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, he wrote Under Pressure.
I thought David Bowie wrote Under Pressure.
Queen and David Bowie.
Yeah.
Bowie only came along later to do the vocals.
Did he just put the pressure word in?
Roger Taylor wrote the song.
Roger put in under.
And he's put out a new song. What he wrote... One in lockdown.
What he wrote?
Yeah.
Check it out.
Let's have a listen to it. It's called Isolation, funnily enough. It's rather nice.